Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, when Lance Moody joined us, he said, you know, I have never been on a two-hour or three-hour radio show, and I don't know if I can hang in for all that time. And I said, you know what, Lance, here's the deal. If you get tired, Chris and I will interview each other, we'll debate each other, we'll fight each other, virtually, of course, and you sit back and laugh and chortle or whatever you want to
do. Referee. That's fine with me, yes.
But you know what? We have the last four segments of the show, and you're still going strong, so maybe you have a new career here.
I want to thank Chris for being so kind to me. I expected him to be a lot madder at me, and now I
Lance,
feel like...
Lance, I really could tear you a new one, but that's not what the show's about. The show's about separating the signal from the noise, and you are one of the most valued people that we have at forum.theparacast.com. You are our conscience, our cop. You're willing to spend amazing amounts of time to dig into things that you feel are important. I'm one of your biggest fans, believe it or not, Lance. I am.
Well, I appreciate that. I really don't spend much time on this issue. I know it seems like I do, but you know, when I'm working, I often do a lot of animations, motion graphics, and that kind of thing. So I'm sitting at the computer, and many, many times I have to sit there and wait for a render to take place. And
okay, so while you're rendering, you're 3D.
Exactly.
You go into the forums and you hang out and you have at it. Okay, we got your secret. By the way, tell our listeners, what do you do for television? Are you strictly like a video editor?
Yeah, I'm an editor and an animator. You know, I do a lot of high-end corporate films and TV commercials, that kind of thing.
And do you use Final Cut Pro?
I do use Final Cut Pro. I use After Effects quite a bit. It's one of the main tools that I use. I use the new Final Cut X as well. So I use a lot of different tools, but After Effects, I would say, is probably the thing I use the most.
Well, on our other show, The Tech Night Owl Live, I'd like to talk to you about Final Cut Pro 10 because it's so controversial because it has so many big changes. Let's get back to what
Sure.
we're doing. Now, when we planned to have you on a couple of weeks back, we posted an announcement at forum.theparacast.com to see what our listeners had to say.
Right.
I say, okay, guys, he's going to be on, definite. Now it's your chance to have at Lance Moody. And they did. And Chris is going to start to ask some of those questions.
Well, of course, the first question that comes to mind is, are you paid to do what you do? I mean, that's several people, I think. And you're looking at the questions as well as I am. This particular one is from Gog Smacky, who's one of our more active members of the forum. And, I mean, Lance, you're spending the time disproving things that you don't believe in the first place. And that gets back to an earlier question we didn't fully cover, and that is, you know, what's your motivation, man? Are you getting paid to do this? I hope so.
Let me ask you, do you think there are people like me who are getting paid by someone to be skeptical? I mean, do you really...
I would think that there are government employees that are paid to monitor certain sites, certain shows. Yeah, absolutely.
But specifically, though, the paranormal or the Paracast, do you think that someone might be paid to – I'm just asking. I'm not accusing or anything. I'm just wondering if you really think someone might be getting a paycheck to talk about skeptical issues.
Well, if you want to put it that way, no, I don't. But I do, without any hesitation, think that there are counterintelligence individuals within the intelligence community who are tasked with monitoring, keeping their pulse, you know, finger on the pulse of the paranormal, finding out how floating trial balloons, putting out red herrings, disinformation programs, monitoring the response, seeing how it's spun. You're darn tootin'.
Well, to answer the question, no, I don't get paid for it. It's probably, you know, it's sort of a hobby. It's probably some kind of character flaw that I have. It's a lot of different things. Just passing the time is the reason I sometimes, and I have to say, I don't participate as much as I used to. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but it's much less than I used to on the forums.
Yeah, it's only when I come up with something that you dive in and start dogging me. Damn, you're like a pit bull, dude, and you get pretty rude, too. You're like a puppy dog on the show here, but, man, I'll tell you, you are very, very artful the way you use your passive-aggressive technique to ignore all the good stuff that I think is important and just look for those chinks in the argument, chinks in the armor, and just start drilling down on it, drilling down, drilling down, drilling down. Exclude everything else, just drill down on where you see the weak points. And that, to me, is a little disingenuous, but that's only my opinion.
Well, I think that some of that is valid. I mean, I think that sometimes, like I said, it may be a little bit of a character flaw, but when people, there is a desire sometimes to set the internet straight. And I have thus far been unsuccessful, but I have tried.
Well, you can be, I mean, you're very good at skirting that that line between ad hominem attack and character assassination. You become a master at it. And I've been taking notes, dude.
I understand.
I'm actually getting pretty good at it, too. So I love our repartee. I mean, it might come across as real mean-spirited sometimes and personal and all this. But I do this and laugh. I mean, to be honest with you, Lance, the vast majority of these subjects and people involved with these subjects and the cultivation of popular, delusion, if you will, to me is fascinating. And like you, as you mentioned at the top of the show, I'm really fascinated by the individuals in this field, how certain memes are propagated, how memes are somehow get attracted and kind of coalesce together. This is endlessly fascinating to me, and I think we're dealing with a very important period of societal and sociological development of belief systems in on the planet. And this whole 2012K thing, as I like to refer to it, is a classic example of that. But, you know, people want to know why you care. I mean, why do you even care? You said, well, maybe I could change the internet. Come on, man. That doesn't wash. Why do you even bother?
No, I was serious about that. That you know, people, when you get into an argument or something on the internet, there is this kind of weird thing that overtakes you where you think you've got to get your point in. And I'm certainly guilty of that. You know, usually I think that I try to be, you know, I try to have some sort of connection to the scientific method, to trying to get to the truth. And a lot of times, you know, I think the other side is frustrating and it's annoying to me. And maybe that's why if I make inappropriate comments on a forum, or antagonistic comments on a forum, you know, it's not because I haven't heard any antagonistic comments back towards me. You know, it's a two-way street sometimes, and the motivation is just that I'm interested in the topic, and maybe I think I know something about it. I don't know.
Okay, well, this one comes from SRL, who's been a longtime member of the forum at forum.theparacast.com. Lance, do you consider yourself a material reductionist, a dualist, an idealist, or perhaps something completely different, besides obviously being a skeptic?
Yeah, I don't, you know, for me, the things, when I stopped subscribing to Skeptical Inquirer magazine, I remember distinctly that they began to have issues that were like feminism and skepticism and postmodernism and skepticism. Those are things I'm not really interested in. I'm interested in sort of nuts and bolts things that can be checked or not checked. And I think almost always you'll find me, if I'm arguing a point, I'm arguing the point of something that somebody's claimed that could possibly be checked or not checked. And that's really where I come from. So I don't even know what those terms mean, to tell you the truth.
Here's another question from Polterwurst, again, who's one of our more active members on the forum. Lance, have you ever had anything happen to you personally that made you wonder if there maybe is something to UFOs or the paranormal after all? Something in your life, I add, you couldn't satisfactorily explain even after doing some research?
And Lance will answer that question in a moment. We want to give you a reason to listen to the next segment and to keep on listening. We have Lance Moody, skeptic, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dream turns out to be true and thrusts him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now, the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details or to place your order, visit Rockoids.com. That's R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S, Rockoids.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, December 14th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,697.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,739.81, $869.91 for a half ounce, or $434.95 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,739.81, $869.91, and $434.95.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hangnails, nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Weight, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I see Chris is channeling his inner trickster. So the question was asked from our forum members at forum.theparacast.com of Lance Moody.
Yeah. Have you ever had anything happen that made you scratch your head and go, that cannot be, or what was that light that just zigzagged in the sky in a non-ballistic manner, etc.?
And don't say, who was that masked man?
Well, I do remember. I remember a couple of things when I was a kid. One of the things that I still remember clearly was being outside at night, dusk or or night. And the Goodyear blimp was coming over the a wooded area away from my house. And it had lights on. You know, these blimps have these lights that can do advertising symbols and stuff like that. I remember when I first saw that, I did not know what the heck that was. Just all I could see was the light. I couldn't tell it was the blimp. And that is a really an awe-inspiring sight. When I think people maybe are hardwired when they see something in the sky. Maybe it goes back to to ancient days that there's this awe that takes place when you see something that you don't understand in the sky. And I certainly felt that then. Of course, it wasn't an unexplained thing because I immediately realized it was a blimp. Now, on a similar topic, I remember riding my bike, and I was over in an apartment complex, and I looked up in the sky, and there was a thing that I thought, my mind tells me that I thought it was like a window in the sky, like a very scary-looking lit-up window in the sky. And I didn't know what the heck it was. I kept driving my bike, and I drove around, and I saw a group of people that were at one of the parking areas there at that apartment complex. And I drove up and sort of asked them what was going on. They were all looking at this thing, too. And it turns out that they were doing that famous hoax thing where you take a laundry bag and turn it upside down, and you put two balsa wood sticks crossed with each other at the bottom of the bag and put candles on it and light it up, and it fills with hot air, and it floats in the sky. If I hadn't have come across those people, I probably would be telling you stuff about my UFO encounter. But I did come across those people, and I did get to understand what it was. But when I first saw it, it was something if I was asked to later explain it, I wouldn't have been able to explain it at all.
So the short answer is no. You haven't had an experience in your life that you couldn't explain.
I'm sorry if those were boring stories, but yeah, that's the case.
Here's one, again, from Gogsmacky, who's asked a number of very good questions here. What, in your estimation, are the top three mistakes that UFO enthusiasts, and that's kind of our operative word here, continually make? And then he goes on to say, I mean, what are the logical pitfalls and traps that you feel they are constantly walking into, like a closed door, I might add?
For instance, people ascribe intelligence to the things, to lights they see in the sky. They estimate, this is sort of a basic thing, but they think they can estimate size and distance for something they see in the sky without any reference.
Well, you're talking nighttime or daytime or both?
Either. Yeah.
Okay.
But typically nighttime.
Daytime, you know, if there's points of reference, you can get a sense. It's kind of hard to miss something that, in my case, in September 92, that flew not even 150 feet away from me in broad daylight, right across, just feet off the road, and zipped out across a valley. I was in the passenger seat and was able to, you know, get some binoculars on it. It's kind of hard not to be able to estimate distance when it's 150 feet away, but continue.
You know, those kinds of things are what I would say is that people. Let me just tell you this with an example. When those guys in Morristown, New Jersey did that horrible hoax they did where they sent up some balloons with flares, I think, there were a lot of witnesses and there was a lot of witness testimony. The witnesses did describe things that those balloons could not have been doing. They described the balloons zooming off. They described them as being in formation. They described several things that could not have actually happened with those balloons. And I don't agree with the idea of doing the hoax in the first place. But that should tell you that people aren't good at reporting what they see. They just aren't. I mean, there's just
no
question.
Yeah, witness testimony is often the least reliable. And we've discussed this many times, as you know, on the Paracast. It's when you get groups of people together that it gets really interesting.
Yeah, and those kinds of things are rare. The idea of UFOs should be solved by now. I mean, that to me is really the bottom line.
Yeah, wait a minute. Why should it be solved? If it has a conventional explanation, I would agree with you. But if it's something that is still alien to us, how would it be solved?
I guess I should say, if it can be solved, it should be solved. You know, Arthur C. Clarke was on Long John Neville's program and talking about UFOs. And Long John asked him what he thought about them. And he said, you know, if there weren't so many reports, I would think there probably was something to it. But the fact that there's so many reports and that they don't ever coalesce into anything tangible, into anything that can be studied, that makes me think that it's probably more along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing him, obviously, more along the lines of a social phenomenon, a social construct.
Even if you consider the fact that maybe 90 or 95% of those cases are conventional, now allowing for the possibility that a small number are not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's much easier. I hear that argument a lot, but why would you go in the direction of, if you've got something where you're able to throw away 99% of the cases or whatever the percentage is, I think that percentage thing is sort of a misleading number.
But, yeah, but wait a minute here. All you need is one real case to have a mystery.
Fine.
The Air Force itself said that 5, I think, percent were true unknowns. Well, here's an example for you, Lance. I mean, I had a, and still do, have an extensive network of sky watchers in the San Luis Valley, which I consider to be a UFO hotspot, if you will, a paranormal hotspot for that matter. And how can we have waves of activity with as many as 17 calls, I think, was my record for one day, and then all of a sudden everything drops off and you don't have a call for months?
Well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for your specific case. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, the classic example is there was a zoo in, I believe, Denmark, and the zoo had a red panda that escaped. And they reported this escape to the newspapers. The newspapers published this along with a description of the animal. People began to see the animal all over the place. They began reporting the animal over and over again. There are no red pandas, I might add, in wherever this was, Denmark. But it was subsequently found that the panda was killed very near the zoo. It was killed in a railroad track very near the zoo very soon after it had escaped. The reports continued until the newspaper finally reported that the panda had been found. People weren't seeing a red panda, but they were claiming that they were seeing a red panda.
You're saying that if something unusual is reported, it's going to be like sympathy pains. Other people will see it,
yeah,
too. We're going to
as soon as the media gets involved, yeah. I mean, that obviously.
We have Lance Moody, skeptic, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flu, and other illnesses. Don't be one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new broad-spectrum antibacterial solution. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to prevent bacteria, viruses, mold, and food poisoning, and help improve wound healing. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to consume every day, while powerful enough to destroy the causes of many serious diseases, such as strep, staph, pneumonia, colds, flus, and other harmful pathogens. This new technology has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver solutions. The Science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2012 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com and like us on Facebook.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Lance Moody joining us, we're pointing out, as I said, and Chris was going to pick up on this, sympathy pains, I would call it, where someone sees something strange, and then lots of people see it, and you wonder, is it just mob rule or what?
Well, it's the media. As soon as the media gets involved, then people, you know, become aware or are motivated to be more aware of their surroundings and maybe are excited that maybe they're going to see something too. And then you do see a spike in you know, reports and that sort of thing. The same holds true in the cattle mutilation phenomenon. After, you know, you have a high strange case or two and it hits the papers or, you know, makes the rounds of the rumor mill, the ranching community, and then does have some press, some ink is spent on it, then every dead cow seen by an untrained amateur eye appears to be mutilated. And believe me, I put 300,000 miles on my truck in 6 years chasing around after cases. I mean, I drive an hour and a half and get to a case and go, my, what am I doing here? You know? So there is that kind of snowball rolling down the hill, I think, effect that you're gonna it's built into the scenario. As soon as the media gets that word out, that's why I think it's important for investigators to not immediately go to the media. I mean, I could start naming some names here of investigators that do this, because as soon as the media gets involved and starts propagating, you know, your particular pet theory out there, then that's going to create potentially a lot of time wasting. So I think it's important, the scientific method, as Lance, you know, and other skeptics are continuously banging us over the head to remember, is a point well taken. We need to get all the information. We need to do all the serious field research and in investigative work and even the analytical work before we start to trumpet whatever case we're really jazzed by and all that. And early on, I was guilty of this before, you know, I quickly learned better, you know, and learned that was just going to make more ridiculous time-wasting work for myself. So that's a point.
Well, this recent story about this supposed Bigfoot DNA sequencing is a perfect example. Nothing has been revealed. There is no story at the moment. And yet I heard a guy on the Paracast a week or two ago talking about all the things that were going to happen, that not only has there been no actual paper released, but I've heard from other people, actual doctors who, you know, their job is sequencing primate DNA. This was on the show called Monster Talk. This guy, you know, he made it very clear that not only is there no story yet, but that the press release that's been put out is nonsensical. It doesn't even make sense to a person who's actually trained in that.
I hope they didn't use the word angel DNA as has been claimed in the paper, because, boy, that's not going to get any peer review at all. There's no chance of it.
And the idea of this lady who, my understanding is that she has seen Bigfoot but been ordered not to take photographs of them, that she's, I don't know, has somehow communicated with Bigfoots. To me, it's such a silly story. And would you really want to get your information about Bigfoot from a veterinarian who uses DNA to establish the breed of dogs? That's her use of DNA. Or from a guy that is the premier researcher in that field, which is this Todd, I believe his name is Todd DeSoto. You know, to me, it's just amazing that people and I think this is one of the things that maybe people complain about skeptics, is that, yes, you know, often I have like a very negative reaction to something maybe that you say, for instance.
Oh, I think you're kind of understating that a little bit.
but the reason is that I've seen it so many times before. I think I earn my annoyance by the fact that this Bigfoot story, I've seen 10 different Bigfoot stories that are similar, like the guys that had the supposed frozen Bigfoot in their freezer that went on for a while.
You know, well, we don't want to mention that one.
Yeah, these things are just so dumb, and in particular this Ketchum thing is idiotic. It's not a story. It's dumb, and I don't know why it gets attention. It's annoying to me that it does, and because it's not scientific. It's not how science is done. It has nothing to do with science.
Well, you see, here's the point here. If and when an actual report comes out, if and when it has peer review, whatever, if and when you can actually look at some documentation to see what it's all about, then I think it's fair to talk about. Right now, we're just whistling in the dark. Another question, Chris?
Here's another one from Gog Smacky. It's a good question, I think. Have you ever disagreed with other skeptics? And I'm kind of paraphrasing a long question, but do you think the skeptical community is always honest? Do you think that there are some people that are out there possibly twisting things a little bit to make a point? Or do you think all you guys out there are just straight ahead, straight shooters that are not, you know, ignoring certain, let's say, telltale evidence, that sort of thing? For instance, in the Skinwalker Ranch case, I haven't seen the skeptics really take on the National Institute of Discovery Sciences and world-class science that supposedly was occurring up at that ranch for a decade. Do you think that there is maybe a little bit of confabulation and twisting of stuff in the skeptical community?
Well, as to the question of whether or not we disagree with each other, yeah, I think that does happen. It's frequently I came across people in the skeptical group, this local skeptical group, who they weren't, to my mind, skeptics, because they might have been skeptical in one particular subject, but they weren't skeptical about, you know, maybe they agreed with me on UFOs, but they had a ghost story to tell me or something like that. So, yeah, I don't know if there is really like a specimen that is a skeptic, right? But I try to be a skeptic, and I hope that I've tried to use the techniques of the tenets of skepticism in what I do. I don't know that I'm always successful, but I think there's as many different kinds of skeptics as there are different people.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer, and I think Gene would agree with me on that. Okay, well, there's a bunch of stuff here about 9/11. I don't want to get into any of that. It's really an unfortunate state of events that happened to our country. Lance, this comes from Boomerang. He, again, is one of our more active participants at forum.theparacast.com, and he can't actually reference the exact quote, but He says no less than the late Admiral Lord Hill Norton has gone on public record stating that the Rendlesham incident can only have one of two general explanations. Either something truly extraordinary happened in the forest in December 80, or dozens of highly trained and responsible American Air Force personnel were somehow dysfunctional. What is your take on this particular incident and many others like it involving highly credible personnel reporting incredible events?
Well, I'm not an expert on the Rendlesham case, but I would just say that what I've read about it, it's not dozens of people involved, first off. It's just a very small number of people. And their story is consistent with what some of the skeptics have proposed, which was, you know, it involves that lighthouse. It involves
on, Lance. I think debunking has been debunked. There's no way that lighthouse, even taking into account the amount of growth in the trees since 80, it's been pretty well determined that couldn't be an explanation because the lighthouse didn't even go around in its revolution that far. So, but continue.
I've seen a video of that lighthouse that you can see it from the position that the men were supposedly in. You know,
but the guys saw that lighthouse every patrol. I mean, it's not like they were there for the first time and it was a standalone event.
I agree here. I mean, after seeing this over and over again, day after day, night after night, you'd think they'd recognize it. So here we go. More standalone events coming up with Lance Moody. And Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web app such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly, 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We have Lance Moody joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and we're talking about Rendlesham Forest and whether a lighthouse may have been at least partly responsible. Chris, you want to pick up on it, and then we'll have Lance's response?
Well, again, you know, I mean, I'm just reading questions here. I mean, Rendlesham to me is a very interesting case. I'm not convinced one way or another. I think there have been information over the years, similar to your description of Ralph Ring. Things have kind of grown a little bit, I think, over the years. But I do agree with Boomerang. This is a important case. And when an admiral goes on record saying, hey, either these guys are dysfunctional or something truly strange happened there. I mean, you know, this whole skeptical argument that a lighthouse that's there every night is now all of a sudden going to be responsible for an event that of this nature. And we do have very good documentation. We have audio recordings. We've got, you know, Charles Halt and other people that have come forward. Are there any cases, Lance, that you feel could possibly be the real deal?
Let me just say, first off, on Rendlesham, I don't have the facts in front of me. I'd be happy to talk about it. I have read about it and know more about it, but I can't just bring it to mind at the moment. As far as cases that I have cases that I think are really interesting, none that I think are unexplainable. You know, I love the Valentic case. I love the Trent photos. I think all these things are cool. I love the Heflin photos, but that doesn't mean I don't think that they can be explained conventionally.
Okay. Well, so in other words, what you're basically saying and what I'm hearing here, Gene, correct me if I'm wrong, is that everything that is claimed to be some sort of unusual, unexplained, paranormal type event can be explained. You're saying
no.
None of this stuff.
No, I'm not saying it. Something
okay,
can't
so,
be.
Why don't you correct me and tell me your thinking on this?
Sure. Some things can't be explained because we just don't have the data. We're not ever going to have the data. So my belief is that they probably could be explained conventionally, but we don't have enough data to do so. So that's a difference than me saying that they just can't, they can all be explained, because that's not the truth. What I'm saying is that I know of no case for which the evidence is compelling to indicate a paranormal source. And you know, one of the things that I think UFO believers and UFO proponents should think about is the fact that whenever these collections of the best cases are collected, like the 10 best cases or whatever, you know, most of those cases have problems of some kind. They're not great cases. There's problems with the Trent photos. There's problems with the RB-47. There's problems with with all the cases that are considered the best cases. And if your best cases have problems, shouldn't that give you a room for thought?
Well,
that
Lance,
maybe,
you know, again, it comes down to to your definition of problems. What about how up to speed are you on the Sherman Ranch case and
not
the documentation of one camera filming another camera while wires are ripped out on camera and there's no evidence of that visually?
Where is that video?
This is a world-class team of scientists here now. We're not talking, you know, Matt Moneymaker banging on a tree in the woods and making howling noises.
I don't know about that case. Where can I see that video?
You can go to Hunt for the Skinwalker, and then you can go ahead and put a request into Robert Bigelow and maybe kind
of
meet on your knees.
The video is not available. Have you seen the video?
I believe the story. I have not seen the video.
Well,
I believe
the
story.
This is kind of the problem, Chris. I mean, this is where you and I would disagree.
No, Lance, the problem is this, that we have a billionaire that has hired a world-class team of scientists to do quality, cutting-edge research and investigation, and then totally keeping all that data to himself. So are you suggesting that Colm Kelleher, I think he's got a PhD in microbiology, the managing director, and George Knapp, you know, I mean, Las Vegas' top investigative reporter, broke the Area 51 story back in the 80s, blah, blah, blah. So you think that they're just giving us a snow job?
As well.
You know, you think they're giving us a snow job?
I don't know what they're giving us, but I'm telling you that if you haven't seen the evidence, you shouldn't say that you shouldn't just blindly support the evidence. So a lot of times, like for instance, Ted Phillips was on your program, and he talked over and over about how great this photograph he had of this huge dog-like, wolf-like, gigantic thing that he'd taken a picture of was. He talked about it for at length and then promised to give us the picture. When we finally got the picture, it was nothing of the sort. It was a ridiculous thing.
A blob squatch.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. Why would you say that? Because people do. They exaggerate these things, particularly when they're writing books. You know, that
so world-class scientists exaggerate.
Well, you're using the term world-class scientist. I don't know who he is or who you're talking about, but the...
Well, Eric Davis, Kit Green. I mean, there were some very good scientists involved with NIDS. You know, maybe you should do a little research on that, because Bigelow had deep pockets, and he made sure he had overqualified people involved. How about the case of the calf mutilation that happened allegedly in broad daylight? The rancher and his wife were 300 to 400 yards away. They had just inspected the newborn calf. Walked to inspect the next calf and mother, came back and the calf had been mutilated. Immediately, Bigelow dispatched a veterinary pathologist and a team of investigators that went up to the ranch and documented the scene. I have seen photographs of that particular case and read pretty detailed descriptions of the actual necropsy and other things that were taking place. How do you explain something like that?
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about it, so how can I explain? I have no knowledge of it whatsoever.
Well, there are cases, Lance, believe it or not, that would make me sit up and go, And, you know, every case that's out there, I mean, obviously, 9 out of 10, there's going to be some plausible deniability. We're going to have some wiggle factor. But
it seems like whenever there's supposedly this convincing data, this convincing video, for instance, it never seems to quite be available. And same thing with your friend Ray Stanford. He supposedly has this fantastic video, and yet no one can see it. And this is
a single video, Lance. He has actual analog films.
Right, he has films supposedly so close that you can see inside the flying saucers.
I've seen stills from those, by the way.
Right, but no one else has. No one is not out for anyone else to analyze, to look at.
And we were just talking about releasing information to the public and the media, and how that is really a no-no. And you need to do all your scientific dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's before we release data. So you can't have it both ways, Lance. Either you go and do it in a scientific method and do it correctly with peer review, and don't release your data, no matter who wants it. Or you go ahead and do, you know, the Melba Ketchum route of allowing it to be leaked and shooting yourself in the foot before the thing even gets off the ground. So you can't have it both ways, Lance. Don't get me started here, okay? I have spent a lot of time identifying the most important people in the field in terms of what I think are the individuals that are doing groundbreaking work that can take this whole subject area forward, okay? I'm serious about this. Ray Stanford is one of those people. I don't care what anybody says. I've spent so much time with this guy. I've seen his evidence. you haven't.
Well, like everyone else, then I'll just wait for the scientific reports. But until then, you don't have anything.
I think fair enough. We can always hope before Ray leaves us that we'll get to see some more of his evidence. Certainly the stuff he's done.
Ichnology, it's a study of dinosaur trace evidence.
Absolutely.
Sure, but I read the story in the Washington Post.
Well, if he can do it looking down, believe me, he can do it looking up. And the world will find out about it eventually when he's ready. I'm not pressing him to, and he's not.
Well, I hope he will.
He's not in a position to be pressed right now. He's a man on a mission.
This has been a fascinating discussion, neighbors. This has been a lot of fun watching Chris and Lance go at it there, especially the last few minutes. Lance, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I don't know that I really have any stuff, but I do have a blog at notaghost.com, and I very rarely write there. But if you're interested in reading some of that stuff, I do write up the thing about Imbrogno, if you're interested in reading that. And that's about it. I don't have any books or anything to sell.
Okay, but you can also find him over at forum.theparacast.com. You can find Chris O'Brien at ourstrangeplanet.com, in addition to being a moderator on our forums. And we'll have more excitement next week, as always, on the Paracast. You can find us at theparacast.com or our forums at forum.theparacast.com. Lance Moody, thank you so much for being a mensch and joining us on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.